This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. We got a lot of news to get to. So I wanted to pick up on this spray paint vandal at Seattle City Hall, because I do have some new audio to share with you, and I teased ahead to this. But first of all, just so you know the story. So on Friday afternoon, a 13-year-old girl, she has a can of unwashable, indelible spray paint. And in huge letters at Seattle City Hall, she's part of some climate activist group. And she spray painted some words for some climate activism. About 12 feet it spanned at Seattle City Hall. Now, if you've been down there, they spent a lot of money. My opinion, we spent way too much money building this palace for the royalty that is our Seattle City Council and the mayor. But whatever kind of stone, I don't know if it's marble, I don't know if it's stone, I don't know what it is, along the grand staircase from the sidewalk up to City Hall. But that's where this 13-year-old punk spray painted these huge letters. And her rap after she got arrested was, "Oh, I had no idea that it was unwashable. I thought it was spray paint sidewalk chalk." And she's crying as the cops are putting her in the car. And, you know, they handcuffed her and then took her away.
Get her. Get him out of here. We're not going to play this game. Take him to the police.
I think that's her screaming out, "What the blape?" And then she's sobbing, "I'm in handcuffs." And so I was commenting on this yesterday, and I was saying, you know, she was released to her parents. And her story is that she had no idea that it was unwashable paint, and a 25-year-old fellow climate activist gave her the spray can. And if you're 13, you want to be an activist, somebody hands you something, you better know what it is. And so the 25-year-old guy, he was taken to King County Jail. The girl was released to her parents. And what I said yesterday is, I don't know anything about her parents and their parenting. I don't know if they're proud of their little vandal daughter. I don't know if they're embarrassed of her. I don't know, you know, how they lose control on a Friday afternoon so that their 13-year-old daughter's with some 25-year-old guy and a bunch of other climate activists doing hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of damage to Seattle City Hall. So anyway, there have been people who have been very critical of my coverage, like on Twitter. "Big smart media man eviscerates 13-year-old child concerned about future." So apparently, as long as your cause is righteous among leftists, then you can commit crimes, and anybody who criticizes it is eviscerating a child. No, I talk about a lot of 13-year-old criminals. And, yeah, this happens to be a girl whose criminality was a protest for climate change. And in some people's view, apparently, that should give you a free pass. I just think it's stupid. And I think her parents should, if she's released to the custody of her parents, I think her parents should have to be down there with a toothbrush alongside their daughter scrubbing that paint off. But I've had a bunch of people in construction who have said that getting spray paint off nice stone is really, really difficult. And so the girl, and I'm not going to say even her first name, but she went and spoke to the Seattle City Council yesterday.
Hi, my name's Zoe Sherman.
I wasn't going to say her first name as she says her name. Oops.
My generation, we future generations, when I look to the future, I know we need to see zero emissions by 2030. I know that we need to be able to exercise our rights to breathe clean air and drink clean water. I am going to need clean land to grow my food on.
Okay. You don't know any of these things. You've been brainwashed by this crowd you're running with, and you believe that vandalism is appropriate because, as I said, you're surrounded by all these people who talk about the righteousness of your cause. But when you say, I know this and I know, you don't know any of these things. You've been told them, and the problem is there are a lot of adults. I guess I can figure out how and why a 13-year-old girl would be so gullible. There are a lot of adults who are just as gullible as this kid.
I want my children to be able to experience the joys of life. I want them to be able to see the stars and be able to go outside without a mask.
Outside without a mask. So that's what she's been convinced of. And I will say, she sounds like a very articulate kid.
Can you implement effective climate policy and help us make this right?
Okay, so that was her talk to Seattle City Council yesterday. And then another member of her climate change activism group. This is a 16-year-old girl. And this kid, and maybe she's just nervous about public speaking, but she's just shaking like a leaf. But she also gets very emotional when she talks about how the planet's about to end.
My name is Isabella.
Okay, I won't play her last name either.
Fridays for Future here in Seattle. I'm 16 years old, filled with anxiety. I'm nothing more than terrified with regards to how we will all survive on this planet.
Okay, filled with anxiety. I'm terrified. What a way to live a life. And why? Because a bunch of adults have decided to use our children as their battleground. And so they brainwash these kids. They tell them, man, go out and vandalize Seattle City Hall. And the amount of damage that's being inflicted on these kids because they're being used by these wingnut climate activists. And like I said, this girl was, she just looked, she just shaking like I've never seen.
The UN said we have until 2030 to make immediate, drastic climate action. In 2030, I'll be 27 years old. I will be deciding if I can bring children into this world. It will be the year where the climate crisis will be irreversible. 2030 will be the year with no real future. It is up to you to do your part in stopping this.
You know, what a crime that these kids, instead of just being happy kids, they're filled with terror and anxiety, and their voice is quivering because they think the world's going to end in 11 years. And there are people who think that's okay to inflict this kind of anxiety. And I'll tell you what, whatever tiny incremental change happens to this planet as far as climate over the next 11 years, it is 1/1 billionth of the damage that's being inflicted on these kids who are being brainwashed that they're about to become extinct in 11 years. And I just find it horribly sad. I feel bad in a way for these kids. I don't think that it's any excuse for criminal behavior by these kids. And, Sawant was thrilled that all these kids are just terrified and anxiety riddled.
And it is incredibly gratifying to see that the Green New Deal movement spans across generations, all the way from the youngest people to some of our oldest elders. There's a lot that we could all say about the devastating impacts of climate change, and I think our public comment people were right. This is not a climate change anymore. It's climate crisis.
Of course it is. You can't fill people with anxiety over change. You've got to say crisis. By the way, you got to call it an existential crisis. So I will criticize 13-year-olds who engage in illegal behavior, even if their cause is one that the politically correct crowd agrees with. And then one other quick thing. I will praise the Seattle Times when they do praiseworthy work. But the way they covered this story, it annoyed me yesterday, and then I read it again after my show yesterday. The headline, Seattle Police Criticized for Arrest of Crying 13-Year-Old Girl Who Used the Wrong Chalk Paint During Climate Change Protest. So your lead is, or your headline is not that City Hall was vandalized with indelible paint. It's that Seattle police, wing nuts, are criticizing Seattle police because they arrested a 13-year-old girl who was crying because she didn't know what she was spray painting. And then the lead graph, the Seattle Police Department drew criticism after officers arrested a crying 13-year-old girl who had accidentally used spray paint instead of washable chalk paint. How do you know it was an accident? Maybe once they got caught, they said, oh, yeah, we didn't mean for it to be the permanent spray paint. But what's the Seattle Times doing pitching the excuse of somebody who's engaged in criminal conduct? Is that your job as a newspaper? Is that your job as a journalist, reporter, to just listen to the excuse and then tell everybody, oh, she was a crying 13-year-old, so Seattle police shouldn't have done this? Is that our new standard? If the perp starts crying, Seattle police shouldn't act? And at what age? What if it's a crying 16-year-old? What if it's a crying 25-year-old? At what point do the tears become irrelevant to your newspaper coverage of a story? I'm telling you, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. As is this, up next in the Fastest 15. Bill Gates says that he wants to spray millions of tons of dust into the stratosphere to stop global warming. Bill Gates says he's teaming with scientists at Harvard University. They started a test last year known as the Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment. And it'll use a high-altitude balloon to raise calcium carbonate dust into the atmosphere above the desert of New Mexico to sky cloud. Does this sound like a good idea to anybody? That we should be messing with the atmosphere beyond? I mean, I thought the problem was that we're pumping too much into the atmosphere. And now we got Bill Gates who wants to put millions of tons of dust to stop global warming. You know what it reminded me of? It sounded exactly like what Mr. Burns wanted to do to Springfield.
Well, sir, you've certainly vanquished all your enemies, the elementary school, the local tavern, the old age home. You must be very proud.
No, not while my greatest nemesis still provides our customers with free light, heat, and energy. I call this enemy the sun.
I'm telling you, Bill Gates is turning into Montgomery Burns.
Since the beginning of time, man has yearned to destroy the sun. I will do the next best thing. Block it out.
Good God!
Imagine it, Smithers. Electrical lights and heaters running all day long.
But, sir, every plant and tree will die. Owls will deafen us with incessant hooting. The town sundial will be useless.
Owls will deafen us with incessant hooting. Is that the kind of world Bill Gates wants his grandchildren to grow up in? Up next in the Fastest 15, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo. He was out at a restaurant with his family. And I don't like public figures getting publicly confronted just so the confrontor can get a viral video. But Chris Cuomo, this guy called Cuomo Fredo, who is the weak brother in The Godfather. And oh my goodness, Chris Cuomo did not like being called Fredo.
I thought that's who you were.
No, fuck
Okay, and the guy's a punk. He goes, "Oh, I thought that's who. I thought that was your name."
From the right, call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
name? And
brother?
They use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
Okay, and by the way, my name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Boy, the righteousness of that.
Are you Italian? It's a f***ing insult to your people. It's an insult to your f***ing people. It's like the N-word for us.
Wow. So come on, really? Does he know anything about the N-word? But suggesting that him as an Italian being called Fredo is equivalent to the N-word? That's one of the most... I forgot. Chris Cuomo's a good leftist, so he can say anything he wants. But he's actually comparing that to the N-word.
Is that a cool thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but if you want to play, then we're... Play. You got something you want to say about what I do on television and say it, but I'm going to call me a
Hey, man, hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, you're going to have a big problem.
What's the problem?
It's a little different on TV. Don't insult me like that.
I didn't insult you.
You call me Fredo. It's like I call you punk. You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
You called me Fredo. You know my name now. Fredo.
I thought your name was.
You did not think my name was Fredo. Don't be a liar.
I
want to be a man. Stand up like a man.
I'm standing up, man.
You want to be a man out here.
Listen,
okay, and then at this point, Chris Cuomo launches into expletives like I've rarely heard from a television news anchor. I don't think Walter Cronkite ever said something like this to one of his critics.
I have a problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll ruin you. I'll throw you down these stairs like a punk.
Please do.
Why? So you
don't want to
sue? Sue?
Well, why don't you do it?
Go take a swing. You want to call me Fredo? Take a swing. Take a swing. Watch your hands. Take a swing. Watch your hands. Take a swing. No, no, come on, boy. Come on, boy. So you want to call me? Call me.
Hey, listen, man. I'm not doing anything.
I'll wreck your. I'll wreck your.
Stop.
You didn't ask me. You didn't know what you were doing.
Chris Cuomo tells the guy, "I'll bleeping wreck your bleep. I'll throw you down the stairs." Now, you know what's interesting about this? Is just a few weeks ago, Anna Navarro was on set with Chris Cuomo. And Anna Navarro, CNN commentator, said this about Donald Trump Jr.
Look, first of all, zoos maybe have fences to protect the animals from people like Donald Trump Jr. who like to shoot them.
Okay, so, and then we'll skip to the end after her long rant.
He didn't even make the cut. That his brother-in-law and sister did to be part of the Oval Office and the White House staff. Daddy kept Fredo back home. So,
whoa. And you know what Chris Cuomo did when his guest called Donald Trump Jr. Fredo? He smiled. He smirked. He thought that was funny. Oh, and by the way, in 2010, what did Chris Cuomo call himself in a radio interview with Curtis Sliwa?
Well, see, I've dubbed it La Cuomo Nostra, that there is a group of people, of politicos, who always hint that they might run but don't necessarily plunge all the way, and they are members of La Cuomo Nostra.
So who am I then, Fredo?
Yes, exactly. So you better be careful.
Wow. So Chris Cuomo called himself Fredo in the radio interview. His guests call one of the Trump sons Fredo. That's fine. He smirks at that. But then somebody calls him Fredo in a restaurant, and he goes berserk for two expletive-filled minutes. That sounds like a good, consistent thought by Chris Cuomo.
So Trump just tweeted and Facebooked out a link to his campaign website where they now have Fredo Unhinged T-shirts with Chris's picture.
Well, real quick, we're running late, but here's what Donald Trump just said about it.
Every night, so I don't know why anybody would defend him, but
he spews lies every night. There you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
In about 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. It's Tuesday afternoon. That means our weekly visit with Dave Wyman is next. I don't think there's is right.
Is this some Live Aid?
I'm going to say
song?
Whitney Houston.
No, that's awfully wrong.
Yeah. I knew it was wrong.
No clue.
Do you know the movie The Rose?
Bette Midler.
Wow, Dory got that one. Nice job.
No, that was too much of a clue. Huh. You went with Bette Midler for the first song today, huh?
That's pretty obvious, yeah.
Huh.
I just saw the Seinfeld with the understudy.
Yeah.
Where Frank plows Bette Midler to play it in a softball game.
So are we using this as a correct answer, or is it, are you?
No, that was you gave me too much of a clue. Everybody knows that Bette Midler starred in The Rose.
Okay.
Once you gave me that clue,
all right.
I can't play it.
What else? Name another movie she was in.
9 to 5.
Beaches.
Beaches.
Was she in 9 to 5?
No,
that was
Dolly Parton.
Come on, man.
Same thing.
Pretty much the same. Club.
So
there you go.
Yeah. So I've been. By the way, Dave Wyman from 710 ESPN Seattle. He is with us as he is every Thursday, every Tuesday.
Why is it so hot in here?
So I was so comfortable the first 90 minutes of the show, and then you came walking in here, and the first thing you said is, "It's." By the way, you accuse me of hyperbole sometimes when I send back my ice cold French fries. You walked in here, your first words were, "It's like a sauna in here."
It is.
That's
going on in your little lair.
That's like ice cold French fries.
That happened in Carolina, by the way.
That's
excuse
hyperbole.
Me, miss. Could I get these reheated? These fries are ice cold.
Yeah. That's like
that's
you.
What Dory said to the waitress.
It's like a sauna in the studio. That's every bit as
ridiculous.
Do you
think we're even now?
I kind of. But here's the thing. I was really comfortable for the first 90 minutes of the show, and then once you came in yapping about how hot it is, I actually am feeling it now, and I've started sweating, not because of the temperature, but because of your complaining about the temperature.
Yeah, power of suggestion.
Ah, it is power.
You're easily manipulated. I'm
really
not even that hot.
You just wanted me uncomfortable.
That's right.
So the big sports news today, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, his wife Sierra, musician Macklemore, a couple of Microsoft executives, they have just all bought a piece of the Seattle Sounders ownership.
Hmm.
So I would think that's a good investment because has any sports team ownership ever lost money?
It's a good question. No, I mean, I think it's a license to print money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in a fairly major sport, maybe if it's, you know, a sport that's heavily subsidized.
Isn't that amazing, though? Like, you know, I every once in a while, and I don't complain about it because I understand. And I know that the players before me made, you know, ridiculously low amounts of money. Like some of them had to have another job. But
right
now a guy that is doing the job that I did. Because I was a good player, not a great player. Like Bobby Wagner's a great player, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's getting $18 million a year. I mean, he's going to retire with over $100 million. I mean, if you've got that kind of money, you invest in sports teams.
Yes.
Right? And and Bobby even talked about it before he signed his contract. You know, he was talking about getting into that arena and investing his money and everything. And, it's amazing that players are, you know, it used to be like every once in a while, like a guy like John Elway. Because he got into car dealerships, and then I think he sold to AutoNation for like $100 million. I mean, I don't know what the profit was for him, but, I mean, that has just been a cash cow. And then, you know, he still sells everything under that number 7. You know, they still have his branding rights and everything. So once in a while, a guy like that would come along. But now, I mean, it's...
You know what this suggests to me? It takes money to make money. I want to buy a pro sports team. But they won't let me in. They won't let me in the club because I'm not a big enough fish.
You'd have to get like 100,000 co-investors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, you got one.
I'm in.
Okay.
That's good. But I remember a few years ago when Russell Wilson, he was part of that group, and he still is. I don't know what's going on with this whole Chris Hansen thing. But the guy who wanted to build the Soto basketball arena, but he apparently is buying up some more property in Soto, and we just found this out the last couple of days. And Russell Wilson is part of that group. And I remember talking to Pete Carroll on one of our Friday visits, and I said, "So your quarterback wants to own an NBA team, huh?" And Pete Carroll, it was cute. I don't know how any other way to put it, but Pete Carroll goes, "Hold on a sec. Let me tell you something." And I hear him ruffling through papers on his desk, And he had sitting on his desk, Russell Wilson, when he was a rookie, made a goals list. And Pete Carroll said, I think he said he wanted to be an owner on his goals list when he was a rookie. And then Pete fine, you know, I hear, he goes, oh, here it is. And actually, Russell at the time said he wanted to be a general manager. But this was when he was, what was he, a third-round draft pick?
Sure was.
Had no prospect of even starting at that point as a rookie. He was just a long shot to even play. And he's making a goals list that he wants to be a GM, he wants to be an owner, and now here he is, the highest paid player in NFL history, and he's an owner of the Seattle Sounders, and he's an investor in the Soto Project and all of that.
If you go back to that time, doesn't it sound like a little kid? You find his goals list. I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, I have it right here.
I've got a thing here on my desk that he handed to me, like, after he was here for, I don't know, a month or something, and about his goals and what he was doing and what he had planned out for the next 20 years. You know, he had already thought it all out.
Oh, nice find, Nicole. Good job. Yeah, so
here's the actual list. You want the rest of it?
Okay, yeah.
Hey, by the way, I found the sheet. It's head coach / GM.
Okay. Oh, so he is. Oh, he's overreached with this ownership thing, huh?
Yeah. He's already broadened his horizon. So the world's the limit. There is no limits for Russell in this world.
Yeah, he's an amazing kid.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's a kid to me now. But anyway, he's an amazing guy. He really is, and just blessed to have him here. And you know, the fact that he's probably going to retire a Seahawk is just, it's just great.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't ask for anything better. Remember the years before that, you know, after Hasselbeck, because Hasselbeck was fantastic.
Right.
But it brings home how important a quarterback is.
Yeah. Before Hasselbeck and after for a few years, it was pretty brutal.
It was tough, man. Brought in Matt Flynn there finally at the end, and he was seen to be like that. Remember Kevin Kolb? Kevin Kolb got signed. He was a backup from Philadelphia, signed by Arizona.
Oh, yeah,
Everybody in Seattle wanted the next Kevin Kolb.
Yeah.
You know, and they signed him to a big contract. It never worked out for him. But, yeah, who would have known that a third round, too short quarterback. You know, it's funny. Tony and I did one of the first interviews with Russell after he was drafted on Seahawks.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's just a hopeful kid, you know. He had a lot of the cliches still.
Right, right.
But, man, and you start to get a little bit more and a little bit more of his personality out every year when you talk to him. He becomes a little bit more, you know.
Real.
Real, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, now, you know, in playing those clips for you, it also reminds me, because I talked to Pete during the regular season, how great Pete is, too, that he would even care to fish that out in the middle of a interview with me and get that. I love that guy.
You know what my goals list would have been as a rockhead rookie linebacker?
Huh.
Bench 450. Oh, this is...
Carole King.
Yeah. Darn it.
Good you call. Got it, Corey.
Is this from the Tapestry album?
Yeah, it's a great record.
And the theme is female singers.
That's not actually true.
Okay. Dave Wyman's with us, and we will continue the conversation. Talk about the Seahawks after one preseason game and lots more as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Long ago I reached for you, and there you stood, holding you again.
That is amazing. Good job. Get
closer to me. Hopeless.
Ah, you're fine.
What have you been practicing?
Yes. You know what? I practice every second that I'm not with you.
Sure.
Every time I hear a song, I call it out just so I can stay sharp for Tuesday afternoons. Dave Wyman is with us. Hear about this Alex Rodriguez story.
Which one?
A-Rod was broadcasting the ESPN Sunday Night Football or Baseball.
Baseball.
The Sunday Night Baseball game. He rented an SUV somewhere in the Bay Area. He parked it near Oracle Park. And have you heard about this? It was broken into, and he says they stole $500,000 in jewelry and electronics from his rental SUV.
How do you even carry $500,000 worth of stuff?
I have no... You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like an insurance scam.
Yeah.
How would somebody be traveling with $500,000? And if so, why?
What could the technology be?
I'm seeing if it's... I just found a second story because the San Francisco Chronicle had a story. And now I'm just looking at another one. And it's not detailing what was in it. But I guess that J-Lo was on the road doing a concert in Russia. He was doing Sunday Night Baseball. And he says they got $500,000 worth of stuff.
Who was it? Le'Veon Bell, I think, got like $200,000 ripped off from his house. Some girls that were over at his house took it. And I don't know if he left to go get coffee or something and came back and they were gone. But, I mean, having that much in a rental car.
Oh, here we go. I found a detailed list of what was stolen. They stole a camera, a laptop, miscellaneous jewelry, and a bag.
A bag.
$500,000 worth of goods. That's just...
Was the bag full of cash?
I don't know, but first of all, who would leave that? San Francisco has become just like Seattle, where it's filled with drug vagrants who are doing car prowls every second.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave all that in a car. That's unfathomably stupid. You carry that with you to a work assignment. I don't understand any of this.
Yeah, I never even leave my phone in my car, even parked in my driveway.
Right.
It's just silly.
I mean, there could be one ring in there that's worth $500,000.
You don't leave that in a car.
No, you don't. But I'm just saying that's what could be in it. It's just one thing that is most of that money.
It's too bad that A-Rod, he's starting to make kind of a comeback because, you know, seeing him on the postgame show, he's on with Pete Rose. Like, oh, he's not a bad guy. You know,
he's good in that color analyst thing. Yeah. The woman who's the other analyst, I think her name's Jessica Mendoza.
Mendoza, yeah.
I think she is fantastic.
She's great.
And so, yeah. But
she was a really good Stanford softball player, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah. But, he – and then, you know, he's starting to make, a comeback, and then he pulls a bonehead move like this.
But he'll never get in the Hall of Fame because his numbers are so juiced up by PEDs. But if he didn't have the steroid scandal, his numbers would have him one of the three greatest hitters in the history of the game. I mean, his numbers are absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, don't travel around with $500,000 in bling.
Do you think they'll ever start letting the PED guys into the Hall of Fame?
I hope not.
No? This is Carol
Carpenters.
Carpenters. Dang it. 70s female artists.
Seals and Crofts aren't female.
Oh. I didn't get that one.
What's the theme?
The theme is distance.
Close to you.
Close to you, closer to you. You know, Bette Midler from a distance.
Wow.
Wow,
nice
how
job,
stupid
Sean.
Are we?
Yeah.
I won't answer that on the air.
Okay. With Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7 on 710 ESPN Seattle, and you'll hear him on the Seahawks play-by-play coverage this Sunday from Minneapolis.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Okay, lots more to come. Big lead at 2 next on the Dory Monson Show.
Decided to create a dream come true. So they spring.